We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Dynasty fantasy football has been played for decades, but it's seeing a resurgence in popularity. Those players who play in keeper leagues and dynasty leagues are among the most passionate fantasy football players. They want to know market values and do trades all year long. I'm Alan Soslowski from RotoWire, and in this episode, I'm talking with Jerry Donabedian, a longtime RotoWire writer and analyst. We're going to talk about wide receivers that are undervalued on the dynasty market. And January and February is the perfect time to trade for these veteran players. People start to accumulate rookie picks and they undervalue veterans. What I found fascinating was that Jerry's list consisted of a lot of younger players that had down years, whereas my list was older veteran players that are still producing at an elite level, but their market value, their trade value has been depressed. I hope you enjoy this wide-ranging conversation that Jerry and I, who we had disagreements on a lot of these players. I could tell when I was talking to Jerry, he was starting to shrug at some of my picks, and I was shrugging at some of his picks, but that's what's so great about Dynasty Fantasy Football. There's so many avenues to get a championship. RotoWire's just updated our Superflex Dynasty rankings, our two quarterback rankings. You can see them now for free for 10 days. Just go to rotowire.com/try. You can see all of our premium content free. But Dynasty Fantasy Football, man, this is, you know, January. I would say right after the Super Bowl is when that startup season begins. What how many Dynasty leagues are you in?
So right now, I want to say I'm in six, but I just dropped out of two, but I might be replacing them. I might end up in more than six, but basically my goal is to have it all on one or two different sites. Like last year I was playing on, I think, four different platforms for Dynasty, including two where I only had one team. So it's just a lot of work on Sundays, especially in leagues that aren't best ball scoring. So I guess the answer is 6 to 8 probably.
Yeah. I think that for me, it's like if my Dynasty leagues aren't on Sleeper, I'm not doing them anymore. I'm in like 25 Dynasty leagues. I have a serious problem, but that's what Dynasty League players do, because every time they do a draft, they say, oh, if I just had one more opportunity to do this over, you know, like it's just, if I just had one more league, I could get it right. I mean, we all experience that. So what's your basic Dynasty philosophy? Like, how do you like to do a startup? Let's say it's in a traditional one QB league.
Startup. So I'll usually go for win now in a startup. I actually saw someone post a team on Twitter that I liked a lot. Like a strategy I might use, like I might draft like Brady. You know, if I have a really early pick, maybe go for like McCaffrey. And then I'll try to win for the first year or two and plan on doing like almost a full rebuild. I think usually in a startup, you'll see a few teams at least that do the opposite, right? They try to load up on young players. They sacrifice the first year or two. I usually like to go the other way around. I don't know if that's smarter or I'm just impatient, but I do also like getting to then do a full rebuild a year or two down the line.
Yeah. And I always hear people talking about like a productive struggle where they draft a ton of rookies, a ton of unproven second year players. And what I realize is that they're in perpetual rebuild mode. And those guys are always trading their – once those players hit, they immediately trade them away for more rookie picks. They're in perpetual rebuild. It never works. I think you always – I don't have the stomach for like, hey, I'm going to win in 2 years from now or 3 years from now. I am always trying to win now. So I'm with you. That's what our topic is for today. And we're going to talk about undervalued players, like must-buy wide receivers, players that – are basically undervalued by the dynasty community, not so much by the redraft community, that you can get for cheaper than their market value. And when I say that is, I mean, like, for example, like players, older veterans, you're going to see them tumble down the dynasty board. But when the redraft rankings come out in August and July, those guys are in the top 20 at their position. It makes me laugh every single year. So what is your superpower as a fantasy football player? What do you think your edge is?
Ruthlessness. So you know how you said you don't like a productive struggle? I like a full tank. Like in my favorite league, which I just won this year, 2 years ago, I won zero games, was like the joke of the league. I mean, it was just the most blatant tank you'll ever see. But it worked out. So I guess if I do go for the rebuild, I go really, really hard, and I'm willing to finish last place 1 or 2 years in a row to build that super team. But I don't do the thing you said where as soon as my young guys do well, I then trade them for younger guys. No, I keep them because eventually you do need to win.
But you do see that, right? Like in some of your leagues, there's always those guys, those fantasy managers that the minute someone hits, sell high, right? Sell high immediately. As soon as somebody, what can I get? I'm on all these dynasty boards and I see what can I get for so last night? What can I get for Cam Akers? It's like, hold the guy, right? Hold them. Let's see what actually happens. We were talking a little bit about dynasty philosophy and a startup. So I've gone back and forth. Like last year in my startups, I just collected young running backs in the first couple rounds. Like I was DeAndre Swift in the first, Antonio Gibson in the second. I mean, and then I just filled in with veteran wide receivers, like the undervalued guys from last year, the Jarvis Landrys, the Robbie Andersons. Obviously, a lot of those guys, they didn't pan out. So I'm now swinging back the other way this season where I'm focused a little bit more on the young, proven wide receivers, and then fill in, because I feel like in dynasty you could always get the Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette types, James Conner types, and fill it in. What do you think about that? Filling in with the long term assets, the wide receivers being the longer shelf life assets.
Yeah, it depends so much on the league format. I think my inclination is to build around wide receivers because they do have a longer career span than running backs. Get hurt less often, miss fewer games during their primes. But that said, in a lot of leagues, like a pretty good wide receiver is worth almost nothing, right? You're really just looking for the next Jefferson. And I can see that's maybe part of why people are always flipping those assets. It's like, oh, well, T. Higgins is good, but he's not Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase good. So I'll trade him for a few picks. Maybe I get the next Justin Jefferson. Meanwhile, it's like how many 1,200-yard seasons are you going to miss out on in the meantime?
Yeah, and by the way, today's podcast, this Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast, is brought to you by WinBet. WinBet is our partner all season long, and if there's one thing we appreciate at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, even more so making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you from RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor of RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action, user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round-robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino, take a spin and roulette, double down blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 7 states while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500. Download WinBet now. That's WYNNBET, WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire Fantasy Podcast. All right, I'm here with Jerry Donavedian. I'm Alan Soslowski from RotoWire and our brand new Dynasty podcast. I think the Dynasty content is underserved. I mean, there's a lot of Dynasty podcasts out there, but do you agree? I mean, it is having a surge in popularity. I am seeing more and more casual players, Jerry, go into the Dynasty space or at least be curious about it.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't say I was a casual player. I haven't been for a decade, but I'm fairly new to it. I mean, I think I've been playing in some capacity 5 or 6 years, but really only the last year or two that I would say Dynasty has become my favorite thing. Like it was redraft, then DFS, now Dynasty. And I don't really see that changing. I mean, then again, I guess I may have said the same thing in the past. But yeah, I think more people who really get into redraft end up where I did, where it's like you're looking for something that's more, well, maybe you want it to be year round, especially if you don't, like me, you don't follow baseball, don't follow basketball. So like managing my dynasty teams is my sports in the NFL off season. So yeah, I think you're seeing more and more of the serious redraft players turning to dynasty.
I almost got a little bit bored with redraft. I mean, it's fun. I still like it when my leagues come around. It's, my long-standing leagues, but it's kind of the same thing every year, and there, let's say that there's definitely, once there's a certain benchmark of skill level in your redraft leagues, there is a definite more element of luck. Obviously, you have to grind, you have to do the pickups, but even the most casual players are well informed because of the internet and great sites like RotoWire and some of our other colleagues in the industry. Whereas Dynasty, there's still an edge to be had with, like you said, with the year-round grinding, trying to predict values 18 months from now.
Yeah, I do find in my redraft leagues, especially ones against high quality competition, like the difference between the last and first place might be like 20 points per week, 15 points per week. In Dynasty, you have time over years to build up a really strong team or a really bad one. You see more differentiation between the teams. And it doesn't, maybe it is just as much luck, who knows, but it doesn't quite feel like it.
Yeah, and with Dynasty also, it's a colleague of mine, Rich Dotson, said that even when you're losing, you're winning. Like it's fun. It can be fun to rebuild if you're in a league that has a high volume of trading and people are willing to, sell off those veterans for first round picks. And we're going to get into all that, but today, I think in January and February is the ideal time to buy underpriced wide receivers. Okay. And we're going to talk about position by position, but we're going to talk today about our buy low wide receivers, players that are undervalued by the market in January. And these same players are going to be overvalued and too expensive as you get into October, November, December, if they start to produce. But right now, as we know, rookie fever begins and it culminates in May, April, May with the draft. So we're going to talk about five players that, and we might hit more, that we think are values in the dynasty market. And you can see all of our dynasty rankings right now on the RotoWire website. Just go to rotowire.com/try. You can see everything for 10 days free. We just posted our super flex two quarterback dynasty rankings and also our one QB rankings. All right. So Jerry, let's talk about, I saw the list you sent over. I really like this list because this is your list and my list couldn't be more different, but they're this right for the same reasons. Your list is a little bit more with peak production guys that had a down year, and mine are crusty old veterans getting towards age 30. Both fit that buy low category, but I'll start with yours. The name that popped off that you sent over was Tyler Boyd. Talk about Tyler Boyd and why you think he's a buy low for Dynasty. He's age 27 heading into next season.
Yeah, he's sort of in between. He's almost a near crusty. Like, I feel like he is in that category, but then you look up how old he is, you're like, oh, he's still, I think he's only 26, right? He turns 27 this off
Yeah, I'm
season,
talking about
maybe.
when we start playing.
Right,
So anytime
he'll
we
be
talk about
20.
age on this podcast, it's what age will he be when the season kicks
Week
off?
one of 22. Gotcha. All right. So 27-year-old, happy birthday, Tyler. But yeah, I mean, he's not that old. And I guess it's like when you look at his value, two huge things happened this year, right? Ja'Marr Chase came onto the scene and was incredible. He's going to have a huge target share. The other thing that happened was Joe Burrow was even better than we thought. And this Tyler Boyd did not have a particularly good year statistically. I thought he played all right. But I think this offense, you look at it, there's just going to be a lot of yards, a lot of passing touchdowns over the next few years. Yes, Tyler Boyd is the third banana. But I think it'd be like a type of situation we saw with the Colts back when Peyton Manning there. Remember 1 year, like Anthony Gonzalez had 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. I think Boyd can get back to those kind of numbers that he had as their number one receiver, as the number three in a lesser offense or better offense.
Yeah, and so I just looked up Tyler Boyd's contract status. He is signed through the 2022 season and 2023 season. So he's not a UFA until 24. So he's going to be there. He's about an $8.5 million salary. So that's, you know, that's perfectly reasonable. Of course, it's, you could say it's a little high for a third receiver, but as you just talked about, he's a pretty damn good wide receiver three on your team. On most teams, if he hit the free agent market, he would probably end up being a second wide receiver, almost like miscast in his position, like Corey Davis is with the Jets, is like a fake number one, you know? But, and also what's interesting, I guess, that on the Bengals, there's no tight end of note. CJ Uzoma did come on. He has been touched red zone relevant, but Tyler Boyd, especially, I've moved Joe Burrow up in the dynasty rankings. How high do you think he should be? And to tie this all in, how high do you think Joe Burrow should be in the dynasty rankings? QB what?
QB. Ooh, I haven't thought about this too much.
That's what I'm saying. I know you're not looking at it. Like, off the top of your head, QB Joe Burrow.
Six.
Okay, that's fair. I think that's going to be consensus. I have him at four because I have him ahead of Kyler and Lamar, but I understand if somebody doesn't.
Yeah, and that depends. It's kind of one of those that depends on setting too. So like in my favorite dynasty league, we do 6-point passing touchdowns, and I intend to be in it for the next two decades. So Burrow's, you know, better longevity projection maybe, and the fact that he's more passing dependent could bump him up a spot or two there. But I think in most formats, I still just love the running potential and the potential for the, you know, 25-point per game seasons. Although Burrow looks like he might have that with his arm. Who knows?
Yeah, and he has that mojo about him too. And I know that's not measurable or mean anything for fantasy, but he looks like a guy that's going to will his team to victories, to hot, you know, the Bengals should be a top 10 offense for the next 2 years. And I think that that's another mistake that dynasty players say, that, hey, this guy's going to be great for the next 10 years. Dynasty, in my judgment, is best played in 2 to 3 year windows, probably in two, because look who was on the covers of magazines 2 years ago. Some of those players aren't even in the NFL anymore. All right. So my first buy, and I like that one a lot. That was the one that stuck out for me. You have a lot of good ones on there. And you know what? Tyler Boyd can be had pretty cheap. So that fits in. People are going to be willing to trade Tyler Boyd. Actually, you know, let's give people some actionable intel. What kind of a trade do you think you can make for Tyler Boyd? Like, what type of a player? Do you think a second round rookie pick would get it done?
Oh yeah, I think most people would take a second round, even in a draft like this one that people aren't especially excited about. I think a second round pick will get you Boyd in most leagues. I think in some formats, even a third round pick, maybe a third plus a future something, or maybe someone would take like Terrace Marshall, you know, give him a second chance. Everyone's down on him, but hey, he's young. He has more theoretical upside than Boyd.
Yeah.
I kind of like Terrace Marshall. I may have just talked myself into the other tribe.
So, okay, here, my first buy low target is a player that's just, he's going to be undervalued for the rest of his career. He's been undervalued for a few years already. And that's Mike Evans. This is the perfect time to buy Mike Evans. He's going to be 29 years old. Okay. So he is, if you don't trade him, he's one of these guys that's going to just die on your roster. More, and that's fine. You know, a great analogy I heard one time is with these like DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans types is, what do you care about the price of your house if you're going to live in it? Right. You don't care about the value of your house. So if you're going to have these guys on your roster, it doesn't matter what their market value is. Because, yes, their market value, these older veterans, are going to be less than what their actual value is. Just off the top of your head, Jerry, do you know what Mike Evans finished as wide receiver what this year?
17.
9.
Wow.
Wow,
I was,
right?
If anything, I was going to say lower than, so I was like wide receiver 24.
Right. And that, and I think, and you're a sharp dynasty player. So imagine if that's your market perception, what the general market's going to be. And I was just in a dynasty startup a month ago. I know. I'm a little crazy, a little sick. And I got Mike Evans in I think it was the 9th round. Nobody wants him. Like, people were drafting Chris Godwin, who might be out for the entire year or for most of the year next year, for at least for the first 6 or 8 games ahead of him. And I get that. But Mike Evans, I mean, I think we agree he's a Hall of Famer. little bit more volatile, but he's a set it and forget it player, right? So what do you think about Mike
Evans? Hall of Famer, but yeah, I mean, he's a set it and forget it starter for 8 years now. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, Brady's coming back next year probably, and even if he doesn't,
So you like Mike Evans as a buy low, or is that someone that you're staying away from? Obviously, everything's priced.
I like him as a buy low. And I like Godwin as, I mean, it's hard to sell someone high off an ACL, but in a few months, you know, people do forget about the difference between like a September versus November, December ACL tear and how much that, it's a huge difference in what the projection is for next year. And with Godwin and Evans, a big part of their value is what you expect them to do the next year or two before Brady retires, right? Not to say they won't do well after that. But yeah, I would definitely go Evans over Godwin, even though in terms of which player I like, I have always been on the other side of that. I think most dynasty people are too. Godwin's always been very popular. And Mike Evans is so boring. He just puts up 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. It's just like... When's he going to put up 1,515 touchdowns? You know, he's probably never, but he's pretty darn good.
Yeah. So if you were picking, let's say, if you made the playoffs and had an early exit, you were picking like 9th, 10th, around there in your rookie draft, would you give up pick 109 for him in a super flex draft where value falls?
For Godwin?
No, for Mike Evans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. And I think that the fantasy manager that has Mike Evans, let's say that they don't could see themselves as a win now team, they might actually do it. And then I think the sales pitch that you can give to them for any of these veterans we're about to talk about is, hey, look, if you had pick 110 last year, you would have gotten Waddle or Devontae Smith. You know, so you could pitch it that way. And what we know is that this draft class, well, by all accounts so far, is going to be a little bit less desirable, but that doesn't mean they're going to be less good. So I mentioned Devontae Smith. You have him on your buy low list. I need to hear you parse this one out, because there is a polarization in the dynasty market about him right now. So talk to me about Devontae Smith and why he's a buy low.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, you're not going to be able to buy that low, right? He's still going to cost you a lot. Tough first round pick who had a pretty good rookie year. But I think because he did better in the first half of his rookie year, at least statistically, I think people are maybe down a little bit on him compared to where they were earlier in the season. And really, when you look at it, his target share, yards per target, he looked the same. The Eagles just ran the ball a ton. They finally found would work for them. I don't think that's going to be the case long term, right? He's not going to be stuck in an offense that runs the ball 35 times a game throughout his career. And I thought he came in, played pretty well as a rookie, earned it over 20% target share right out of the gate, maintained it all year. So yeah, he's not as good as Ja'Marr Chase, but I think he did live up to the expectations of his draft pick. And maybe if there's some slight disappointment, it's based more on team context and more on what Chase did rather than any failings of Devonta Smith on the field. I think he answered most of the questions about being undersized. He's surprisingly tough for someone who's smaller than all the cornerbacks he's facing. And, you know, he held up well. He didn't get injured. He didn't look, you know, overmatched. He didn't get bullied the way Marquise Brown did in the second half of the year. So yeah, I feel really good about him going forward.
Yeah, he was a black box type of prospect coming out. Nobody really knew his weight. No one knew a lot of his metrics, his speed. I mean, we saw it on the field. So, and maybe sometimes that's a good thing, right? And but now the thing I want to ask you about Devontae Smith, if you're buying Devontae Smith in Dynasty, and again, I agree with you there. I think he's the perfect type of buy low, because you saw enough to be confident in him, and then he tailed off, and that could be, you know, the Eagles went a little more run heavy towards the end, and I think there's some questions about Jalen Hurts. But if you're buying Devontae Smith in Dynasty, do you want Jalen Hurts to be the quarterback? Or is
probably
it neutral?
Yeah, I'm undecided on Hurts. I think he's been in so many different systems, moved around. He showed some signs of being good this year. I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback. I think I'd be okay with him as Devonta Smith's quarterback for another year, given this draft being what it is. I don't see them being players for Rodgers or Wilson this offseason, although that would be the dream scenario, right? is that he gets a good veteran QB, but it's probably hoping for a little too much. But it doesn't worry as me as some other situations the young receivers are in.
So the Eagles have three first-round picks. They have their own. They have Miami's. And right, they have Miami's pick?
Yeah, they have – I don't remember whose, but I know they have three.
Yeah, so they have their own. They have Miami's. And they have the Colts from the Carson Wentz deal. So they have three picks in the top 19. So they could possibly use one of those picks, you know, on a prospect, a draft prospect, and maybe package the other two with Jalen Hurts for one of the super quarterbacks. Now, again, I think we agree that if that does happen, Devontae Smith is no longer buy low. He's a, oh my God, I can't even afford him, right? I mean, even if Deshaun Watson or if any perceived quarterback upgrade happens in Philly, you're not going to be able to afford him. So I think this is the time right now, January. If you are a dynasty player and you are watching this, Jerry Donabedian just identified a really interesting point. Even with the quarterback situation, it's like, okay, whatever, I'll take it. The only thing that can happen is it can go up. It can't go down. They're not going to – and if they go to Gardner Minshew, I would say for fantasy, that's at least a lateral move, if not an upgrade.
Right, because then you're getting – he's about the same as Hurts as a pass or maybe a little bit lesser, but they're not going to run the ball quite as much, right? You're not losing as many pass attempts to scrambles, QB runs. The QB at this time of year, I think a lot of the buy low and sell high is based on QB uncertainty and identifying where there's downside below like where we're currently at and where there's upside. And I don't see any scenario where the Eagles get rid of Hurts, get rid of Minshew and start some total scrub, right? I think it's going to be one of those two or an upgrade. Probably one of those two realistically, but there's some shot of Rodgers or Wilson and, you know, there's not much hype.
Or Watson, throw Watson in there too.
Right. I don't mention it.
I've heard a lot of talk that, oh, he's never playing again. Where is that coming from? Like there, of course, that's a possibility when we talk about Watson, but there's also, I think, a greater than 50% chance that he's on an NFL team and playing week one. I mean, he could be suspended a lot.
Look at the history. He's playing again. I don't necessarily think, I don't know the details exactly. Whether or not he should, I think he'll play again. I mean, yeah. Ben Roethlisberger was only suspended 4 games for.
Yeah. I mean, we see this all the time in Dynasty. Do you remember that year that Tyreek Hill is never playing again, and then he didn't even get a suspension? Like, these things happen a lot, you know, where the NFL, you know what, there's with talent comes tolerance, right? The more talented you are, the more tolerance there is for you to have an NFL career. And I think we agree, when healthy and in the right frame of mind, Deshaun Watson is a top 4 fantasy QB, top 5 at the least. Yeah.
Player.
Yep. I mean, I'm in a best ball, a redraft super flex best ball right now, and he went in the 3rd round. I mean, you know, he would obviously be a first rounder in any format other than one QB, you know, typical drafts. All right, let's move on. So we're going to go back to the old crusty crew. Keenan Allen is my buy low. Keenan Allen will be 30 years old. Another player that is going to be loathed by the dynasty market in startup drafts. You're going to be able to get him so cheap. Nobody wants a 30-year-old player in dynasty. But what did he do this year? Let's see, Jerry, take a guess. Where did Keenan Allen finish as wide receiver? What?
In PPR, I would guess like 6.
So it's again, depending on format, he finished as wide receiver 11, and that's only because Hunter Renfro, of all people, knocked him down. And I think we all think Hunter Renfro, no one's going to be ranking him as a top 15 wide receiver next year. We can agree there. So yes, he was in the top 10, Keenan Allen. Justin Herbert remains his quarterback. I have Justin Herbert ranked as the QB3 in dynasty. So you're talking about the number one target with a top 5 quarterback for at least the next 2 years. Players like Keenan Allen, their game seems to age well. And again, I guarantee you, if you are a contender and you don't want to make that pick at 110, 111, I'm pretty certain in most leagues you'll be able to get Keenan Allen for your late first round pick.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that if you are going for a win now in a startup or just in general, that's who you want to target, right? Because he's got QB stability. Maybe he will decline. In 3 years he might not be good anymore, but I'm pretty darn sure he's going to put up big numbers in 2022, 2023. And yeah, it's just one of those guys. Like, yes, he might. You look at the age, and he's not maybe a long-term asset, but he's also not like Julio Jones or something where you're like, you don't know if you're going to get anything out of him. Like, you know, you're getting a top player for another year or two.
Yeah. Julio Jones, though, even in those late peak parts of his career, age 28, age 29, every time he got tackled, he got up, you were like, Keenan Allen had some durability concerns in early in his career, but I'm not sure how many. Has he missed a game over the last three seasons? Yeah,
he had two severe injuries in his first 3 or 4 years, and I think he's only missed maybe one game the last 5 years. Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins, too. I worry a little about the fact that before they started missing games, they were like on the injury report every week for 2 to 3 years, not practicing. And then this year, Julio last year, he finally started missing games. Hopkins this year. But maybe that makes Hopkins a buy low, right? Because people are going to see the Julio path for him. And who knows whether that might just be recency bias, that because of Julio, in my mind, I'm like, oh, once these guys, once the injury finally happens that knocks them out, they never come back.
But yeah, I think that for sure, I agree that Hopkins can fall into that category. But I think we can agree that Hopkins carries a lot more risk. We're starting to see the breakdown, whereas some of the other older veterans we spoke about a minute ago, like Keenan Allen and Mike Evans, we not only have we not seen a breakdown, we've seen a maintenance of their high elite production. Right. But we're trying to find here a chasm between the market perception and the actual value. And you're doing it. What's so funny about these lists, which I find fascinating, is that we went in totally different directions. You're targeting elite players that had a down year, and I'm targeting non-desirable players that had great years. So yeah, these are two different strategies, and that's what's so great about Dynasty. There's so many paths to get a championship. All right. Another guy on your list here that you sent over to me that I absolutely did not even think of, and I feel stupid for not thinking of it, but that's why we do these podcasts, Jerry, because I'm going to go target Terry McLaurin as soon as we get off here, because his owners are furious that he was putting up like zeros. All right, so talk me through Terry McLaurin. Why do you think he's a good buy low? What you think the Washington quarterback situation is in worst case scenario, and what could you trade away to get Terry McLaurin?
I think everyone was expecting the breakout this year, and it didn't happen, but I thought he looked great. So I thought he played really well. The Washington offense was just a disaster. And again, that's one where the QB uncertainty is a good thing, I guess, because it can't get too much worse than that. Well, Kyle Allen makes, but yeah, it can't get too much worse than last.
You really think they're going to go to Kyle Allen? I think that
They have to bring in someone new after how poorly Heineke played, and they know that Kyle Allen is. I mean, they like him as a backup, but
I mean, there's going to be some good veterans on the market this year, Jerry. I mean, potentially Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be available for trade if they go out this round. Potentially. Who knows? Mitch Trubisky, I know that he's kind of like a dynasty joke, but he's good for fantasy football. So if he ends up there, that could be good for Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, right. There's a few different possibilities. Even like a, rookie first round pick would give some hope for the future. I have McLaurin on a lot of teams already, so I haven't explored this. He might be a guy where people like him so much that there's really not a buy low opportunity. Maybe everyone's thinking what I'm thinking, like, he's finally going to get a quarterback. But how many, we've said that two off seasons in a row already, right? I think people get tired of that, even if there's still a chance it happens.
Yeah. So I'm looking on the RotoWire, Dynasty rankings, Superflex rankings, which are available now at rotowire.com/try. Get them for free for 10 days. And let's see, where do I have Terry McLaurin ranked among our wide receivers? I have him as wide receiver 14, just above Devontae Smith and Michael Pittman, just below T. Higgins and Devontae Adams. So I have it number 12. I have Adams low because of the QB uncertainty. But he finished as the wide receiver 25 this year. So this is exactly the actionable intel that we're talking about. Who's a player that we believe the future value is going to be good on, whose market value is depressed. I think that's a really good buy low. So what do you think What do you think it would take to get him? Like, what kind of, is there some players maybe that overperform that you could trade away to get him? Rookies?
One thing, like, I would try trading Davante Adams for him. That's would be like, I think the QB uncertainty is one guy is more likely to improve. The other guy is more likely to drop off. And I think, you know, Davante Adams, there's still a chance that he stays with Rodgers, right? Even if they could both leave, they could both stay. So I'm not trying to throw him in the trash, say I'm done with him, but there's enough concern there that I would start, like, especially if I don't love my chances, right, of winning a championship in 2022, you know, I would start offering guys like Davante Adams, maybe Tyler Lockett, plus some picks for Terry McLaurin, stuff like that.
By the way, hot take alert. You just said trade away Davante Adams for Terry McLaurin. And you know what? I'm not going to throw any cold water on that take because I love it. And I think that, you know, we say, oh, you know, we see it coming, right? That Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, there's a 30% chance they're going to be on different teams. And what does Davante Adams look like with Jordan Love, right? I mean, probably wide receiver 16, something like that, right? I mean, Devontae's so good.
Guess. We can't. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, he's a great player. Yeah, he'll have more productive years regardless.
Yeah, Davante Adams is one of the most fascinating ranks. I told you, I have him at 12. I've seen him as high as 4. I've seen him as, you know, I think I might be kind of the lowest on him. I'm okay with that for now for all the reasons that you described.
I think I'm lower on him than you based on, but yeah, I do think I have him, I guess, a handful of spots below most people.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right. So sticking with my crusty veteran, and again, I love these old veterans. I trade for them all the time. And if you have a late first round pick, you only can do one. So pick your flavor, but I don't think it would take a first round pick to get a guy who just gets you 1,000 yards every year, who can get you 8 touchdowns, and that's Brandon Cooks, man. Brandon Cooks was probably the wide receiver to target in the later rounds if you went robust RB in any format this year. We got to see. Do you know his contract status? Do you know if he is going to be on Houston again? Let me see right now.
I want to say he's got a year left, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Let me just look it up in real time while we're talking here. I use SportTrack. Is that what you use as well?
I usually use Over the Cap.
Over the Cap, yeah. Those are two good ones. But let's see. Cooks is – yeah, no, he's – oh, yeah, he signed through 22. So that's $12.5 million. Let's see. Yeah, so, okay. So
in trade candidate, too. 1 year on his contract, underpriced. He'd have some value if they wanted to move him. I think they'd keep him just because they need some decent veterans.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And look, what did Houston just do? They signed, they extended Rex Burkhead. You know, be careful there. They extended Rex. Can you hear me okay, Jerry?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. They extended Rex Burkhead. I mean, they want veterans on that team to help aid in the growth of Davis Mills, right? I mean, it seems like Davis Mills is going to open the year as the 22 quarterback. Unless they can't move Deshaun Watson, right? I mean, so maybe. Let's start with that. So talk me through.
I don't know what's going on there.
Davis Mills, multiple 300-yard games. It. Yeah. I mean,
they fired Cully, though. So I guess I was like, if you were going to, you know, the re-signing Burkhead, bring back Mills, I don't get why not. I don't really get why they fired him or why they hired him in the first place if he was going to get fired, even if he did a good job.
You know what it struck me as, and it's a really funny point. He's kind of like he got Josh Rosen. Oh, okay, we hired this guy, and then you're like, meh. Just because we have him, we don't need to hold him through another year, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, Houston was one of the teams that didn't just lay down and give up. I probably would have held on and see what I had, but maybe they just didn't. You know, there's things beyond that what we knew. He didn't strike me as a coach that was an elevator, you know, someone that like brought the team, you know, to the next level. But I like Brandon Cooks, especially if he's in Houston. He seemed to have a nice connection with Davis Mills. He would be my next buy low. And again, this is someone that, you know, you could probably give a second round rookie pick. You could probably, you know, Jalen Reagor in a third as somebody. And I don't know how much Jalen Rager's value has totally been squashed at this point, but I think Brandon Cooks for a contending team or someone that's on the fringe of the playoffs is a pretty good buy. All right, let's move on to your next buy low target for Dynasty Fantasy Football. And this one surprised me a little bit because I thought he was a little bit more expensive, but Michael Pittman, you can see that is a little bit undervalued right now. Why?
So I think he just slow second half of the season. A little bit of the same thing as Devonta Smith, where his team was just running the ball so much. And also his touchdowns, which, you know, are harder to predict, were just very heavily tilted to the first half of the season. But I thought he played really well, maintained dominant target share, solid efficiency numbers with a bad quarterback. And that's another one where I think either Carson Wentz will be back or end in the second year in the system, or they'll get someone better. Hopefully they get someone better. But I don't think there's much of a scenario where he's playing with a worse quarterback in a lesser passing off offense.
Yeah. Okay. So and also he is, you know, he is the number one target on that team either way. I pretty much think that Carson Wentz will be back. I just, you know, they paid a first round pick. They can't just let him go at this point. He was good enough to give another year. Frank Reich seems to like him. You know, they're still going to be centered around Jonathan Taylor. They're going to be a run first team. So we'll see. But if you think Michael Pittman went pretty high in the dynasty startup I did, he was maybe like wide receiver 11 or 12 off the board. But
oh, wow. You know, okay.
Let me double check that because let me see. Let's see where I have him.
I have him that high.
Let me see. No, I might be overstating the case. I have him as wide receiver 15. Yeah, that's about where he went. He went around like 15 or 16. Would you rather have Michael Pittman or knowing what we know now about Calvin Ridley?
That's tough because like Calvin Ridley, I'm like, I'm good at analyzing football. I don't know what's going on with
You're on the clock, and those are the two best guys right there. You're
it's
on
like
the
a
clock.
Your mental health thing. So it's like, who knows? Maybe his mental health thing is that football's bad for his mental health, and he doesn't want to play anymore.
Well, that's why you're on the clock today. You're in a dynasty startup today, and you're on the clock. You need it. You've taken one run. You've taken a running back. You've taken a receiver. You got your quarterback in a super flex league. It's time to you're in the market here for a wide receiver.
Pittman, gun to my head.
Yep.
I mean, I do the more risky thing, gun to my head. So Calvin Ridley.
Okay, right. So you think that the upside is still better for Calvin Ridley, age 27? Okay, that's fair. But I think that's a real decision. Your struggle with that just illustrates that is the right area for him to kind of be ranked. I have Ridley right now at 17. I have Pittman at 15, but I would take
you said you had Davante Adams around the same range too, right?
I have Adams here. Let me look at it. I have Adams at 12.
Okay.
I have Adams 12. And right now you can see all our Superflex rankings. I just updated everything. Our Dynasty Superflex rankings. Go to rotowire.com/try. You can see all of the updated rankings. You can comment. Let us know where you agree, where you disagree. All right. So moving on to a couple more buy lows. Who did I have? Okay. Buy low. I think that I mentioned him a little bit earlier, but he is sure to be undervalued. Regression, man. Hunter Renfrow. What is Hunter Renfrow? What else does he have to do? In college, he was that guy, right? And in the pros, I'm not saying he's going to be a top 12 wide receiver. He finished as like wide receiver 10 this year, but it's a undervalued strategy to have these plug and play wide receiver threes. I don't think you can rank Hunter Renfrow outside of the top 30 wide receivers. Let me just see exactly where I have him. Renfrow for moving forward for the dynasty rank. I might even say I have him too. I have him as wide receiver 32. Would you rather have? I mean, that seems about right. I'm looking about the players I have around him, but would you rather have Renfrow or Jerry Jeudy moving forward?
Jerry Jeudy, you're throwing out all the hardest names to value here. Ridley, Jeudy.
Well, these are the tough decisions.
I'll take dynasty. Jerry Jeudy. I think I do tend to focus more on upside at wide receiver. So I sort of disagree with this, the loading up on the wide receiver three types. It depends on format again. Mm-hmm. But I'm usually when it comes to receivers.
Push back. Let me hear why. Let me hear why you don't like taking these like floor guys.
I think I can find them out of off waivers, off of trades, as you know, throw into trades. I think I can pull them out of my butt. So I don't want to give up anything for it.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd rather take the shot on, I do think Hunter Renfrow is going to have staying power. I think he's, you know, yes, even if he's only a slot guy, he's one of the five best, which means like whatever team he's on is going to throw a lot of passes. The slot guy run three wide a lot. We saw because of him, the Raiders changed their formation usage. Other injuries, played into that. But no, I still think, I don't think he has that much of a ceiling. I think this year is pretty close to it. And I think Jerry Jeudy does still have, like a top five, top 10 wide receiver ceiling. But Denver is tough right now. That's one where there's the QB uncertainty should be a good thing, but I just don't trust it ending well. I don't see how they sell themselves to Rodgers or Wilson right now after the way they finished the year.
Yeah. And I think again that, you're a sharp dynasty player, but I also think that the market is going to tend to agree with you on that one. So that's what makes Renfrow
right
a buy low to me, is that if you think he's just going to regress to being just wide receiver 40, then yes, you're right. But if you think that he could be a top 24, a wide receiver 2 weekly, give you that 12 point floor with 18 point upside each week, you're going to be able to get him. And it's not like, hey, what rookie pick can I trade from him? Because it just doesn't work like that in Dynasty. You know that. I mean, rarely it does. In some cases it does, if you're talking about your first rounders. But Renfrow is one of those players that you could add to a deal to get to upgrade. It may be a 2-for-1 coming your way, where let's say somebody wants Tyler Lockett or somebody values you. Let's say Russ stays in. Okay, here's a good example. Let's say Russ goes to the New York Giants. Total hypothetical. Right. So Kadarius Toney's value is going to be on the rise, obviously, and for good reason. And somebody wants Kadarius Toney from you, and you get a player back. You can maybe someone that you like, you can add a Hunter Renfro for that, which gives you some more depth in these dynasty leagues. So when I say buy low, I think that he is attainable and he is startable in most formats, especially these deeper formats that you and I both play.
Yeah. I think he's gonna have a bunch of good seasons here. Like, I don't think it's gonna be a 1 year wonder thing. He's had a steady progression. And like you said, yeah, in college too, he's just at every level, he's done well. And I know he has the reputation of being, you know, like the super unathletic guy who just wins on like discipline and effort. But I think he looks a little more athletic, but like this year, like he's a step faster than he used to be. Still slower than a lot of the other receivers, but he's a step faster.
He gets open. He's got incredible hands and he's just a good football player. Right.
I think that's faster than Jarvis Landry. Right. And he's still one of the best. 8 years later, he's still one of the best slot guys when he's healthy.
You know, it's funny. We have this tendency to compare Hunter Renfro to like a Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman for obvious reasons, you know, like, hey, it's the slow white guy. Right. But I think Jarvis Landry is the better comparison. He's not as strong as Landry,
but otherwise very similar. Yeah.
Right. And he's a reliable target that a quarterback can trust. So I think that's I love that comparison. You're going to hear me use that on Dynasty Podcast. And I
Jarvis
will
Landry is just is Hunter Renfro on steroids.
Yes. We'll call call Renfro poor man's peak Landry.
There you go.
Yep. All right. You have Rashad Bateman on your list. Bateman's going to be an interesting case because, yes, he disappointed relative to expectation. But there's a Bateman hive out there that is very vicious. You never want to say anything bad about Rashad Bateman on Twitter unless you have very thick skin. So let's say that because I'm a Rashad Bateman fantasy manager and I might be looking to move him. So you're right. This is a good buy low. Explain why.
I think for me, it's the same thing with the upside with the receivers. And I'm a Ravens fan, so maybe I have a little bit of bias being frustrated with Marquise Brown. You know, I can't remember the last time he did anything, but he started the season very well. But I think with Marquise Brown, there's a higher certainty than with Rashad Bateman that he's a good NFL player, a solid player, right? We've seen enough that Marquise Brown isn't bad, but I also feel like we've seen enough that he's not great, right? It looked like at the beginning of this year, maybe it was happening. Maybe he was having his breakout. And I think some of the narrative will say that, you know, oh, Lamar got hurt and that's what happened. But Hollywood was struggling long before Lamar got hurt. He was struggling before the rest of the Ravens offense was struggling.
Hey Jerry, Hollywood Brown broke 10 fantasy points once over the last 5 weeks of the season. So your statement there about finishing slow, understatement.
Yeah. I guess some might say that makes him buy low, right? Because owners will have soured on him. But the way I'm seeing it is I think Rashad Bateman has some shot to be a superstar, right? I don't know that he's going to be. He didn't quite look like that as a rookie. He also had an injury, a core muscle injury that he needed surgery right before the season. Had a late debut, had to be worked into the offense. So there were some things working against him, and then his quarterback got injured. But I think he has some chance to be a superstar. Hollywood Brown, after watching every game, pretty much every snap he's played for 3-4 years now, I'd be pretty shocked if he's a legit superstar. Like, he's a poor man's Deshaun Jackson. I think the best case scenario is that he becomes a slightly less poor man's Deshaun Jackson. He's just not, if it was going to happen with him having more of an impact in the short intermediate passing game, he had those chances over and over again this year. He just doesn't do much after the catch on the short passes. He's just so small. He's not as elusive as you'd like for someone his speed. With Rashad Bateman, I just think he's a first round pick on a team with a disappointing number one receiver, at least slightly disappointing. So I'd buy into the possibility of Bateman overtaking a Hollywood as soon as like week one of this upcoming year.
Yeah, and those are your fantasy wide receiver buy lows, everybody. I like Jerry's list. I like your list a lot. I wasn't even thinking along the lines of going after disappointing young players. They're going to be a little bit more expensive than the guys I named, but they fit different team constructions as well. So I think we gave you a well-rounded list. We talked about Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks on the older player side. We talked about Michael Pittman, Terry McLaurin, Rashad Bateman on the younger player side. And if you're new to Dynasty and you're just getting into the format now, welcome to the addiction. Welcome to the obsession. We're going to be here with you every week on the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast stream. So check in. We're not sure if we're going to post on Mondays or Tuesdays just yet, but early in the week, we're going to be here talking about Dynasty all offseason long. We're going to have Jerry back every couple weeks talking a little bit more about rookies as we get closer to the draft, Dynasty strategy, and some other good targets and strategies, how to pull off trades. Before we go, Jerry, we talked about these players to target. Do you have a strategy to how to get a trade executed? I mean, are you just sending blindly a trade? Do you follow up with DMs? What if it's someone that you kind of casually know? What's your actual technique for trying to get a deal done?
Usually I mostly play an MFL. So usually I'll just send an offer, but I write something in the notes. So like, let's say, so I like Rashad Bateman. I don't like, so let's say I go and I'm like, all right, I'll try to send Hollywood for Bateman, and then I'll write in the notes, you know, I also would be interested in tight end help, and I have wide receivers to spare if you need it, or whatever, like, you know.
So do you take a look at the other guy's roster first before you send? Because nothing is more irritating to me than when someone sends me a deal that does nothing for my roster.
Yes, no, and that's part of what I like, but Dynasty is you don't deal with that. 9 times out of 10, that's a redraft trade where it's like, you didn't, why would I have Kelce and Gronkowski? No, I don't want your tight end. Like, did you even look? Yeah, so that's part of what I like about Dynasty is like less time wasting. And the trades actually happen, right? In redraft leagues,
it's
like
impossible.
There's one trade a year. There's one trade a year, and it's usually a ripoff. It's just someone whose team stunk, they got sick of it, and they just reshuffled by sending their best players to their friend.
Or it's an injured star. Christian McCaffrey got traded when he went out week 3. That happens sometimes, you know. I made a terrible trade where I traded away Christian McCaffrey and redraft for Chris Carson, but we ended up both not getting anything out of either player. So you know, terrible. So during the year, I love reading your work on RotoWire, your work on defenses, and your other articles that you post. What is your signature piece of work that you post or that you work on in the offseason?
So I'll do this offseason. I'll probably do more Dynasty content. I don't remember exactly what the name of it is, but basically I track value throughout the offseason.
Like a market watch type of thing?
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't remember what the – I think Mario Puig has also done something similar in the past. And I'd like to come up with something new too. Still kind of in between in-season and off-season mode, but I'll figure that out soon.
All right, Jerry, where can they find you on Twitter?
Jerry Donabee. Very simple. It's my name.
Okay, and you can also look in the link of this video or podcast, and we'll have all of Jerry's socials. All right, Jerry, this was awesome. This was our first Dynasty podcast of the new season, of the 2022 season. We'll be back again. And if you have any questions, you can always hit up Jerry on Twitter, on social media. You can hit up myself. I'm at Alan Zaslowski. You can also check out some of our other socials on TikTok, Instagram. There's at RotoWire. And if you want to check out all of our Dynasty content for free, our rankings, our market updates, get our podcast, everything. Just go to rotowire.com/try. You get 10 days. You don't have to use a credit card. You just put in your email and it just lapses when it's over. There's nothing to cancel or anything like that. So we'll be back next week with another Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast. Bye, everybody.
Noise, noise. The sun goes down on my side of town. That lonesome feeling comes to my door.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.